up, don't I? Am I good? It's the sound people. Since Brian didn't do it, I'll do it. If you're visiting, we're so glad you're here.
Yeah, I blew that one. and just so you know, I was going to thank Mark for putting the flags out, and Peggy and Roger for pulling up the baptism. And Misty said, there's a lot going on, Brian. You better write it down. I did. I wrote it down. I still forgot. So I'm sorry, y'all.
We let anybody come here, and we'll let anybody work here. We're going to have some fun today. It's going to be very interactive. It's a holiday weekend. We're just going to have some fun. If you have a bulletin, take this out. This is a pre-service exercise. Oh, I'm getting told I'm not. I got to get some tape. Take this out. This is not a quiz. Nobody's going to see this but you. But here's what I want you to do. On line number one, there are no limitations for this. Okay, there's no financial limitations, no time limitations, no location limitations. If you could do anything you wanted to do on any given day, what would it be? Number one. My wife's, I can tell you, it's sitting on the beach somewhere. Oh my gosh, I hate sand. But she loves it. Okay, don't think too hard about this. Some of y'all need to enjoy life more if it's taking this long to figure out what you want to do. Okay, if you can't do number one, what's number two? Anything you want to do, what is it? Put it on there, number two. No financial limitations, no time limitations, nobody bugging you. You just do whatever you want to do. Okay, I bet you figured this out, but if you can't do one or two, then what's going to be three? You got it? Okay, set that aside. I'll show you something later on, but pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. Father, this is your day and your time, and we pray you clear our minds of the distractions of this world. Let us be focused on you. Open your word to our hearts, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, I said this is going to be interactive. I'm going to open a can of worms in a Baptist church just for the fun of it, okay? Let's talk about music for a minute, okay? If you're going to pick what kind of music you're going to sing when you come in here, who wants to sing hymns? Who wants to sing hymns? Look at this crowd. Out of the hymn book. You know, the funny thing about that is this really took center stage in the late 80s, early 90s, when choruses became on, and we'd always sang out of a hymn book. But let me ask y'all a question. And I am a hymn person. I love the hymns. I love the hymn books. But the problem for me now is these words keep getting smaller on these pages. As they sit here, they shrink up. So who likes worship choruses? Who likes the 7-Elevens? Y'all know what that is? They drive me crazy. So we had worship choruses from the early 90s, really taking shape in the early 2000s. And then, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, what started to come on are these 7-Elevens. And it's the whole song is 7 words, and you sing it 11 times. And they drive me, I will drive off the road when they come on the radio. Turn them off. What is worship to you? What is worship? Say that again.
God said you love.
Okay. I heard somebody back there. Praising God. Bible study. You would. From my resident scholar over there. We recently went on vacation. We went to Gulf Shores. And Misty sat on the beach all day, and I sat inside in the condo in the air conditioner looking at the beach. Okay? We both had a great time. She had a much better time that I was not on the beach with her complaining about the heat, the sand, and everything else. But while I was sitting there, I read Bill Gaither's autobiography. Do you know who Bill Gaither is? Take your hymnal out. Take this out. Anybody else don't know who Bill Gaither is? Turn to 583, I believe. 583. No, sorry, 843. I don't know where I'm. I'll be all right. 843. There's an 843. There's no song. It's the index. Stay with me, people. 843. There still ain't no 843? Yeah, it is. 843. Huh? Page number 843. Do you see William Gaither's name down there? In middle column. Parker. You see it? How many hymns did he write? There it is. A lot. And he's still alive. Okay? If you start looking up his song, go to 505. Is that one of his? Hymn 505? What is it? He Touched Me. He is, of our generation, the most prolific hymn writer of our day, among other things. The songs that you and I, the hymns generally that you and I enjoy the most, he wrote them. But you know what the title of his autobiography is? It's More Than the Music. You see, what I found out and discovered from reading his autobiography is, for him and for us, it's not the music. It's not the style of music. It's not which song you like. It's not who's playing what. It starts with our heart. The worship, when you come into this room or any room and you worship God, it starts with your heart. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of y'all look like you've been sucking on eggs when we get to worship. Okay? The other thing that amazes me is this crowd is predominantly hymns. I'm with y'all. I love these songs in this book. But something strikes me unbelievable sitting up here on the front row when we start singing. And it's really the worship choruses that we sing. It's like a wave. There are so many more of y'all singing, and it is so much louder. I can't wrap my head around, okay, we love the hymns, but we sing the choruses. But it has to do with our heart. And I want to show you something. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 30 just real quick. John chapter 3, verse 30. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. That's a perspective of the heart. For me to come into this room and worship and truly worship Him in not only Bible study, but in singing to Him, my heart has to be that that I want him more important in my life than I am. Well, where does that start? Go with me to Philippians. Philippians 4. I'm going to read you verses that you can quote, I bet. Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace that exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Jesus Christ. If we want to worship Christ, we have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. So I got a question in looking at this verse. It says, do not worry about anything. What is anything? Everything. What's included in everything?
Everything.
Anybody in here ever worry about anything? What does the scripture tell us? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So if the scripture tells us don't worry about it, why are we worried about it? Because we're not listening. You're so, yes. Yes. Do what? We want to be in control. We want to be in control of things we cannot control. And I've said this before, if you want to know where you do not trust God, if you want to know where you do not trust God, look at the things you worry about. Okay? The things you worry about, what you are saying is, God, I don't trust you. It's pure and simple. And so, this scripture says, don't worry about anything. Tell God. Whatever it is, tell God. And then trust Him. Now, when that happens, I can start to praise Him and worship Him truly because I trust Him. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And thinking of, we've been told don't worry about anything, but in everything trust Him. Matthew 6, verse 25. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Life is more than food and your body more than clothes. This is basic necessities, okay? And I would be willing to bet most everybody in this room has been blessed to the point where we do not worry about basic necessities as a general rule. God has provided. So if God's going to provide our most basic needs, then why are we worried about anything else? You see, worry is the main culprit to worship. You cannot worry about something and worship God at the same time. If you don't believe me, the next time you catch yourself worried about whatever, just start worshiping God and see if you can do both at the same time. They are completely contradictory to each other. You cannot do one and the other. So you've got to pick. Now, I don't know about y'all, but from my experience, worshiping is way more fun than worrying. And what have you ever accomplished from worry? Nothing. In fact, most of us have made down payments on things that never even happened. Right? We worried and worried and worried and worried and worried, and then it never even happened. Verse 34 says, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough, will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." So if we stay focused where God wants us, and this is the thing that's so amazing. When we show up on this earth, we have this ability built in, and we learn it out of ourselves. Okay? Kids live in the moment. When we show up on this planet, we have the ability to completely live in the moment. Enjoy this moment right here. They are not worried about dinner, sometimes. They are not worried about tomorrow. They are enjoying today, and God wants us in this moment. So when we get ourselves to a place where we stop worrying, we can start worshiping. Now, let's think in terms of worship for a minute. How many people in this room do not have the ability musically to sing where we would want to hear you? Okay, hold your hands up for a minute. Look around. Okay? It's most of us. Okay? It's most of us. Now, some of y'all, I know you're raising your hand because you want to be humble. That's fine. Our ability to worship is not based on our musical talent. Go with me to Psalms 98. Psalms 98. See, one of the things that those of us who raised our hand have done is we have put ourselves in this mindset where during the worship time, I'm not going to sing because I don't have the ability. Right? I'm not going to sing because I don't have the ability. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Okay? What are you going to do? Because this whole thought of, oh, I'm going to be able to sing when I get to heaven. I bet you not. Okay? I bet you not. Because here's the thing. God created us as unique individuals. You will hold that uniqueness for eternity. As much as I would like to think that I'm going to have a magical singing voice and the ability to play a grand piano when I get to heaven, I probably won't, because that's not who God created me to be. But I can promise you it will not stop my ability to worship the King of Kings who died on the cross so I could spend eternity with Him. And when I start focusing more on Him and less on me, I don't care what y'all hear coming out of my mouth. It is going to be, Psalms 98, verse 1, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for He has done wonderful deeds." When we come in this room and we're singing, it's not to each other. It is to Him. Okay? Sing a new song to Him. The reason David is saying sing, and the reason that we're going to spend a lot of time in heaven singing, is because I believe singing is the language of the soul. Jody and Tricia have been all over the world, heard all different dialects where people cannot communicate. And what's the one thing that will bring them together, Jody? What is it?
Singing hymns and praises.
I believe that's because that's the language of the soul. And if you want to feel God's presence and His Holy Spirit radiating through you, start singing. Start worshiping Him. Look at what David says here. Sing a new song, for the Lord has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory, and His holy arm has shown His saving power. Nowhere in any of the Psalms, I can promise you, does David ever tell you, or any of the other writers of Psalm ever tell you, sing if you have ability. Right? Nowhere does he say, sing if you have the ability. Sing if you have a beautiful voice. Over and over and over, it says, make a joyful noise. Some of us need to be heavy on the joy part because what's coming out is noise. But I got news for you. God is not listening to your words, your off pitch, how flat you are. What He is listening to, as He has done over and over, He's listening to your heart. Verse 4, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and songs for joy. Sing your praises to the Lord with the harp and the harp and with the harp and melody songs, with trumpets and the sounds of the ram horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King. When we focus more on God than us, what happens is our joy swells over into worship for Him. Why we come in here and sing two songs and then me pray and y'all sit down and we sing two more songs, it's not because we like the songs. It's we want to praise the King, the Creator, our Savior, for what He did for us. And when we do that, it changes us. And so we're going to do that. We're going to do that now. But before we do, take out that sheet. Take a look at it. And I want to ask you, don't raise your hand. Don't make... In those three slots, for what you love to do the most, is worshiping God one of them? If it's not, it should be. Pray with me as our men come forward for our time of offering. Father, we thank You for giving us a reason to sing a new song. For giving us a reason to praise You. Lord, we want nothing more than to glorify Your name. And Father, we do that with our voices and with our hearts, and we want to worship You. We also do that with our tithes and offerings, a reminder that we have nothing to worry about because everything that we have, You've given us. Father, we love You and we worship You now. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.